Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello!
Hi!
Hello! Howdy doody there!
Howdy doodly neighbor, you know? How's it going? We're here.
Hi!
We're back.
It's us! You know us.
It's me, Cecilia. It's Carly and Cecilia.
That's
and
right.
And we're here
we are
to
us.
Tell you about some spooky things and to be your friends and to have a fun time.
Oh my gosh, that's what this is. That's what this whole thing is doing.
Exactly.
Hooray for
what
us.
This is.
Welcome to it. It has a name. It's called Ghosts Are Everywhere. That's what we call it.
It sure is.
What do you call it? Oh, that's a great name for this podcast. That's fun that you call that. I really enjoyed that.
That's interesting
you.
That everyone has a different name for a podcast for some reason.
Yeah, it's weird that everyone calls the same thing that has a name something different, but
something different.
Yeah, here we
they
are.
All have a name for it.
Our listeners all have a special name for that, whatever this is, which I appreciate. So thank you for saying it when we pause there for a second.
Thank you for letting us know what you call our podcast, and we're just going to keep that in mind and use it as constructive criticism.
Yeah, well,
going forward.
We hear you, we see you. Of course, spiritually speaking, metaphysically speaking,
metaphorically speaking,
phantasmagorically speaking. That's what I was going to say. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
We're here. We're doing this. It's another week of ghosts, and that's what's happening.
It sure is.
Yeah, baby.
What's new?
What's new, pussycat? Well,
what's new, pussycat?
It's a wild time. Friend show is happening.
Oh my god! Yeah, people. If you haven't seen Carly's friend show, I give it 2 thumbs up. However many thumbs I have, that's up to interpretation.
You'll never know how many thumbs Celia has. Surprise. But she's giving us 2 thumbs way up.
I'm very mysterious. But I give it 2 thumbs up.
Aww.
And you should go to hamiltonfringe.com, maybe, if that's
that's
.ca,
but yeah.
.ca, mm-hmm. hamiltonfringe.com and figure out .ca and figure out how to buy those tickets. And it's a struggle, but you can do it.
But you managed to do it.
How long is it up?
It's running till the end of this weekend, till the 25th of July. So we have just a few days left.
All right.
Yeah. At the time
of
this recording and this release. So
you got a little bit of time to get on there, get on the internet. If I can figure it out, you can figure it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Our show, mine and pal and past guest of the pod, Patrick Teed, have a show together called It's a Beautiful Day for Brunch and To Arrest the Cops That Killed Breonna Taylor, which we're billing as Racial Injustice's New Fave Cringe Comedy. We've gotten some very good reviews from a lot of great reviewers from Toronto and from Hamilton. And today we're named one of 5 best bets at the Fringe.
Ooh,
so we're rated
good.
As a must-see
yeah.
by Beyond James Blog, which is like a Hamilton culture blog hub, which is awesome.
After I watched it, there was an option to like vote for your favorite picks.
Like audience you, pick like, or whatever
and I went to vote for you guys and I typed in like half of the name and then accidentally pressed enter. So.
I feel like they'll know who it's going to.
I know they'll figure it out, but I think I put in like it's a beautiful day and then like a capital Y and then pressed enter.
It's a beautiful
like,
day.
Oh,
yay.
I can't go back.
That's
and fix
so
this
funny.
No
okay
you're
like
cool.
okay then
Hopefully if the people who figured that out for the Fringe are listening, that's what I was trying to vote for.
That's what she's trying to vote for, please, the Fringe.
That's
so.
My pick. Not just because it's my friends and not just because it's the only thing I saw of the Fringe.
But
I vote,
it's her
I vote
pick.
For it.
She's
it's
voting.
My pick.
Let her vote.
I'm not biased.
She has no. She's the only human on earth with no bias. It's Cecilia O'Grady. Take her word.
I'm physically and mentally incapable of bias, actually.
Yeah,
so.
scientists are still studying her. They're trying to figure it
scientists
out, trying to crack the code.
Baffled. This 26-year-old woman has no bias. I
she
am
has no bias
bait.
Whatsoever.
I have no bias. How does she do it?
How does she do it?
They just don't know.
Scientists still don't know. Well, yeah, so that's happening to the end of the weekend. So that's what's happening with me. Mm. What's happening with you, girlfriend?
I got a new computer. I'm ahead now.
You're ahead of the curve.
Carly fairly recently got a new computer.
That's right.
And I was like, fuck, I gotta I gotta do that
She's
too.
She's just trying to one up me, everybody. It turns out.
I'm just trying to one up Carly. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm moving forward into the future.
That's right.
I'm, you know, we're doing things. We're making
we're
it
doing
happen.
It, we're making it. You know, computers are great for people like us who need them a lot, especially if we want to do things like, you know, podcasting and creative work and things that require you to have, you know, good access to, you know, good things like lots of different softwares and, I don't know, writing software. Oh,
exactly.
Who knows? We'll see.
You know, we've got a few things.
We got wheels moving. We got pots brewing. Who knows? You'll see.
Exactly. I'm trying to, you know, get into those pots a little bit more. So
that's
I was
right.
like, well, I gotta buy myself an expensive computer so that I have to work on these things.
Exactly. You have to force yourself. That's
buy
what I did.
An expensive computer and quit your job so that you have to work on these things.
Force yourself to do it. It's all fun.
Scientists are baffled.
She has no bias.
She has no bias. She has no plan.
She has no plan.
What is she doing? Everyone is baffled.
Scientists still don't know. Only time will tell. And we love to see
Only
it.
Only time will tell.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to give me money...
If anyone wants to give any of us money, let us know. Slide into our DMs.
Just throwing that out there.
If you want to be our benefactor, you know, like Great Expectations style, let us know.
Oh,
if you have lots of money and you want to give it to us to do cool stuff like this and other cool stuff,
yeah,
let us know. We'll take it. And we'll say thank you.
Mm. We'll say thank you and we'll put it in our little pockets and we'll...
That's right.
Keep on
trekking. That's right. You know who else is always keeping on and keeping on is Ghost Cecilia.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
You heard about them?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, they're like everywhere, and they're also always going. You know.
I've heard that they are always going. That's why our podcast
is called
Ghosts
are
always
going. Absolutely. That's at least what our listeners at home are calling it. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So
that's I did hear one person.
I heard
say that
from the back. Yeah. I'm glad that you caught that too. Yeah. So today's episode is a classic style. A goodie.
A classic.
An oldie. One of our two favorite formats, besides some of the other formats we've had on this show.
One of our three favorite formats.
That's true. Yeah, we have typically both three formats. And this is one we haven't done in a while. It's a choose your own adventure.
Sure is.
Means that I'm telling a story, Cecilia's telling a different story, and our stories can be from anywhere, anywhen, usually involving ghosts, almost always. So
usually.
So we're bringing you two different stories from two different places, you know, to show you that ghosts really are everywhere, because we've been doing this podcast for quite a long time, almost 100 episodes, and we haven't run out of ghosts yet, baby.
Almost.
Not even close.
No, we're just still doing it. So I have a ghost. No, I don't. I have a story.
You have at least one story. That's good.
I have a story. Carly said that we usually do ghosts, and I'm going to... just put it out there that I don't really have a ghost this week.
Well, I say usually, it's not an always.
I have a story, and one might say that the person / creature that I'm talking about is somewhat ghosty, but not necessarily a ghost.
Okay, so spooky time for sure.
All right.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Now I'm curious.
Are you prepared for this?
I wasn't. I'm really curious.
So this is another classic choose your own adventure in which Cecilia does not pick a ghost.
I mean, that is a theme, you know, that is a through line that we enjoy very
something
much.
Something spooky and paranormal.
Ooh.
And folkloric.
Okay.
So
getting warmer.
Why was I thinking about this thing? I don't remember.
Cool.
I realized that we kind of touched on this on our episode with one of our favorite guests, Axand.
Our favorite guests, but Axe,
we love you.
We love Axe. What a guy.
And I remember in this episode sort of like talking about this thing and being like, I don't really know about this. Like, okay. This is not something that I've ever really, like, delved deep into. So I decided to become an expert on this guy. This thing. Oh. This creature.
Oh, okay.
I watched a HBO documentary and I read a Wikipedia page.
I mean, that's expert. That's expert level if you ask me.
So those are my two sources.
Sweet.
The Wikipedia page and also the HBO documentary, which I have a lot of thoughts on, not all positive.
Okay.
But that HBO documentary is Beware the Slender Man.
Oh, that's right. We did talk about that.
So.
I forgot.
Yeah, we're gonna ooh, go deep into the Slender Man. Shit. I'm an expert now. I know all about the Slender Man.
Okay.
Fun fact. So.
Oh, I'm scared. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. Okay, it's going to be good. I'm excited.
I get very, like, factual into it.
Oh, I love that.
So don't be too afraid.
I'm always afraid. Really, that's my secret.
I watched the documentary and I was getting really mad at, like, maybe not the things that they wanted you to get mad about.
Yeah, that's so like, funny.
Yeah. So I didn't really know anything about the Slender Man other than he's just like a tall, creepy, like faceless, kind of ghosty
guy. Internet thing.
Internet thing. Yeah. So I sometimes would see him on like Tumblr or other like, internet spaces back in the day. Like, not really something that I interacted with, but something that would just sort of pop up.
It was just around. Like, oh, we know what that is. Moving along.
I know what that is, sort of. Like, there it is. Move along. Like, 2012, just like, oh, yeah, there's a Slender Man as I go through my, like, whatever other shit I had on my Tumblr.
Totally.
I didn't really, I didn't really interact with it. I don't really remember hearing about the whole thing surrounding the, like, stabbing and stuff in 2014,
right. Yeah,
that the documentary is about. Like, I probably like heard it. I probably heard about it, but I never really remember it. Like,
isn't not the top of your brain? See, I thought for some reason it was earlier than that, but I guess that makes sense for the time wise.
2014.
Wow. What were we doing in 2014? Who freaking knows? We lived in Ottawa. Yeah. Student politics and just lots of drinking.
Pretending to do my homework.
Oh, classic. Miss pretending to do that.
Miss it.
Oh.
But Wikipedia luckily knows things.
Good. Thank goodness for Wikipedia.
Knows so much more than I do because I don't know shit. I was like, Slenderman, he's scary.
Yeah. He's slender.
So it all
he's not thick man.
Started. He is not thick man.
Not thick man. No.
Not like, who's thick man? Wario?
Wario is the antithesis to the Slender Man.
Is Waluigi...
Slender Man?
Slender Man? never mind.
Waluigi is the Slender Man of the Mario-verse.
Maybe Slender Man is like the ghost of Waluigi or something.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past him. Waluigi.
I'm gonna write a fanfic. anyway, so it all started on June
10th,
2009. Okay. On Something Awful, which was like a comedy website which had a lot of forums and articles and things like that.
Yeah.
It seems like it's kind of like a Reddit situation, but with forums, I don't know. I was not online in 2009.
We were not like internet kids in that way. Like, neither of us growing up were very much internet kids. I would say I was more of an internet kid only because I had Facebook in like 2008 and like I didn't really use it, but I had it. But I didn't do like, I wasn't like an online kid that like did like anonymous forums or like that kind of stuff. Or
In 2009, I'd never been on a forum. Like, I had like MSN Messenger and I would like try and watch movies on YouTube. And, like, music videos. I would watch music videos on YouTube a lot.
Yeah. I would watch, like, some small, like, in the early days of YouTube when they would do, like, there were, like, some certain creators that were doing, like, short-form comedy and stuff. I would watch stuff like that.
Carly just watched that shoes video over and over and over again.
That's me. I did a lot of that. I had my Facebook. And then I would, with friends, would do, like, MSN Messenger, but I would never... I didn't really do it that much because I wasn't that engaged.
I was on MSN Messenger and I played Moto Racer, which wasn't even online. It was just a computer game that me and my siblings and my dad would play. And it was just this like motorcycle game that like was like, it was probably made in, like, 2006 or something, and it was one of those games where, like, as you were driving down the road, the, like, it would, like, render itself so you wouldn't be able to see the road.
Oh, my God.
Like, that far That's ahead of funny. You because it would just, like, be building itself.
Yeah, as it
go.
Went. Yeah.
It was great. Oh, it was a great God. Game.
I also remember playing, did you ever play, like, play games on miniclip.com?
Yes.
Yeah, I did a lot
my
of that.
My dad, I'm pretty sure, still plays games on Miniclip.
Oh my God.
Like, a couple years ago. Like, not even. Like, probably, like, last year. He'd be talking about, like, yeah, I was at work and I was playing a Miniclip. That's what my dad is like.
Oh my God.
Don't tell his boss.
We hope Miniclip is doing well.
Miniclip. It was great. It was Miniclip. Fun.
You can still play games on Miniclip.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
My dad does.
Oh my God. It looks the same. Wow, I'm excited. I also played...
Carly's getting back into Miniclip.
I'm getting back... Everyone, come join me. Let's all get back into Miniclip. Let's all do it together.
I would also play those games, like the dress-up games on, like, whatever websites.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else I was really into? Actually, Pal of the Pod, Carly Roberto, was really into, like, clip art.
Yeah.
And, like, ooh. Do you remember you could build, like, websites, but it had, like... moving clip art, but it was like glittery moving clip art. I have to ask her about it.
I don't know.
Is the kind of shit that sticks in my brain because she was always more computer savvy than me. Carly Roberto would for years she made like she made like birthday cards and cards for people like on her computer.
Oh my God.
And I did too. Yeah. But hers were like epic. Like hers are still like to me I'm like she was the queen of it. She's the queen of clip art. But anyway, amazing. All that to say, internet.
Okay,
this is
anyway,
our behavior on
so,
the early internet. We
yeah,
weren't
this
really
is what
in
we
the
were
Slenderverse.
Up to in
yeah.
2009. We didn't know about Slenderman.
No,
I wasn't doing scary things. I didn't
no,
like
me,
scary things in 2009.
No, the scariest I got no, was you. Like TV was watching like Creepy Canada and like
yeah,
like
and even that was scary.
Even that was
like,
so
haunted
scary.
On, haunted Canada.
Haunted Canada. Yeah. No. The kids, the Ghost Adventure Kids or whatever. Yeah. No. Ghost Trackers.
Yeah.
No. That's all.
Whatever
that's
that ghost. Yeah. That
much
like
as
YTV
did.
Ghost show.
Yeah, with the kids. Yeah, we love it.
Classic. But these other people that we didn't know.
Yeah, they're really
they
into it.
They were on Something Awful, this website that had forums. So there was a forum on this website and they had a Photoshop contest and the challenge was for people to create something that looked real on Photoshop, but obviously wasn't.
Right. And at the time, like that's really challenging because Photoshop has only gotten better, obviously. But like
it's 2009.
It's 2009. People, like, Photoshop's brand new and like kind of shitty, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
These were the early days. So this guy, Eric Nedzin, he was under the screen name Victor Surge.
Ooh.
And he created a black and white photo of like kids playing. So they're like on swings. They're in the playground.
Sure.
And there is a tall, slender, faceless man in the background of these photos.
Oh, the slender man.
So underneath the first photograph, there's a quote that says, "We didn't want to go. We didn't want to kill them. But its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time." 1983, photographer unknown, presumed dead. And then there was a second photograph, and the quote under it read, "One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken the day 14 children vanished, and for what is referred to as the Slender Man." That is worded so weirdly.
Yeah, that's so weird. That's so awkward.
"Notable for being taken the day which 14 children vanished and for what is referred to as the Slender Man." Okay. "Deformities cited as film defects by officials. Fire at library occurred 1 week later. Actual photograph confiscated as evidence. 1986, photographer Mary Thomas missing since June 13th, 1986. So there's like this little like story around it.
Right,
but
a
it's
lore.
Still kind of mysterious, like kind of odd. So this photo and the concept of the Slender Man soon went viral because people kind of looked at it and they're like, damn, we can make so much out of this.
Yeah.
It's so
they're like, look
open
at
to
this.
Interpretation.
Holy shit. Yeah.
It's like cool. It's scary. You can do so much with this.
Totally.
So people started to make their own fan art and they started to make creepypastas.
Yes, creepypasta.
Are so fun. So these are on like Reddit, like I guess 4chan, all of these.
Right.
I thought it was just a website, but I guess it's a like format.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize
Again,
that either.
If people are more online and know about these things, please let us know.
If you know more about
it,
let us know. I only recently learned about what actually is like 4chan and stuff. Because I was watching
4chan is wild. I know. I listened to a podcast about like QAnon.
I was watching the like HBO QAnon special.
Oh my god! The series. Yes.
And I was really learning wild. All about it. Yeah. I was like, it's what in the hell? Yeah, it's so fucked up.
Yeah, but so this is not quite that.
Okay,
but instead of like conspiracy theories and shit like that, they're just these short little like. Horror stories
right.
that are on forums. I guess like I saw them on like Tumblr, yeah. but like a lot of the times they're like short, so they can be like copied and pasted onto other
right
websites. So they're just like really snackable, like
little snippets, little
they're like a
peek-a-boo.
Little snack.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They're like nice and short, easy to share, easy to spread around.
Totally, and that's like how the lore builds, right? So
yeah, so people will read these creepypastas and create their own stories about the Slender Man.
Ah.
So because there are so many people sort of making their own things, his description often will vary. So physically, he typically is based off of this like initial original Photoshop contest image.
Right.
So he's unnaturally tall. He's thin. He's got these like long, thin arms and legs. He's very
squiggly.
He's very slender. And he has this like white featureless face. Sometimes his face will like change based on like who's looking at him and when and things like that. But most of the time he's just a white face. He's faceless.
That's the scary part. Yeah, the faceless part.
That's the freaky part. So scary.
Yeah.
I have a mask, like a face mask that I bought from Girl on the Wing where Carly
worked, nice. Yeah.
That is like kind of like a tan color.
Oh yeah.
I was wearing it. My mom was like, it just looks like you don't have a face. Like
you're the Slender Man on the
color
bottom.
As my face. So I was the Slender Man, except I have eyes and eyebrows.
That's funny.
Sometimes he has tentacles.
Oh, I've seen that.
Or like extra
arms that come out.
Like spidey arms. Like if you've seen pictures, like they will like come out of his back and be all like grabby and like attack and stuff like that. He usually wears a black suit and a tie.
Yeah, he's fancy.
He's a fancy man.
He's creepy,
and
but he's fancy.
He's often associated with the forest or with abandoned locations, and he has the ability to like teleport.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Where he
so
why
depends
he can, why he can be everywhere
and
he's
selling it. Yeah, or like the one thing that I remember seeing and like associating with, because I thought it was like a video game. Because I had seen a video game where you, like, walk through the forest and you, like, find the pieces of paper on the trees.
Oh, yeah.
And he, like, shows up in the background.
Totally.
Which I've never played.
No.
But
I know it exists.
They were showing that video game in the documentary. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of maybe where I first saw him or, like.
Yeah, knew about him.
What I thought he was from.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's a scary video game and that looks scary and I won't play it.
Yeah, too scary for me, not for me, thank you.
Too scary, no thank you. It looks real spooky. But I guess that's sort of like a teleportation or like an extra speed
Yeah, he has like extra speed or something. Like he's super fast.
I don't know.
Yeah. These are the vibes
being
I got.
Being close to the Slender Man is said to trigger slender sickness.
Ew.
So you'll be like paranoid, delusional. You'll have nightmares.
I mean, this sounds like a Friday night. Like,
oh, Carly's just doing this right now. Oh my god, Carly, you have a nosebleed.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, hold on. Okay, got it. I just took care of it.
Carly,
what?
Don't turn around. But
oh no, again.
Like, there might. There
not
be.
Again.
Yeah.
Sir.
Maybe you can just like, pretend he's not there.
Oh, okay. We'll just pretend he's not there.
Okay. We'll just pretend.
We'll just pretend he's not there. We
I
won't include
won't,
him.
I won't look at you.
Just, yeah, look away and just, I'll listen,
I'm not
listen
looking
to
at the
sound of my voice.
Oh, no. He often targets children or young people. Carly, you're too old for him. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, if I'm too old for Leo DiCaprio, I'm probably too old for the Slender Man.
Yeah. I think you're too old for the Slender Man.
Yeah.
Because he will target children or, like, young people in these stories, he will often like drive them insane or get them to act on his behalf, either like through coercion or by like inhabiting their body.
That's so freaky.
Yuck. It's there's rarely like overt violence in any of these Slenderman stories, but often you know he will be all like murdery or like attack people, things like that. Much of the horror is kind of left up to interpretation.
It's like the unknown, like the unknowing question mark, which is what's freaky about it.
It's never really clear what his intentions are, what he's trying to do,
where he comes from, just, any of that.
It's all very mysterious, open to interpretation. People can kind of like draw their own conclusions from this.
Totally.
Because he is this like faceless, nameless creature that's like open to interpretation. People can make their own stories. He people can like project their own fears onto him. He can be whatever you want to be, so he's often reflective of a lot of like societal fears of like the internet, things like that.
Bury
like,
that
things that people are freaked out about right now.
The forest, just like
That's like things that people were freaked out about back then. Things that people are afraid of now.
Like very timeless in that kind of way, where it's like pulling on the I guess like the most primal fears of things like the unknown or like the like things that are just a little bit secret, a little bit out of your reach, like the it's very much like playing into the like the movement out of the corner of your eye, could it be like that kind of like
and it's also just like very modern but also at the same time very like rooted in these old-timey ideas.
Old school like, as fuck, but in a new way because it's on the internet. Yeah, it's the best of both worlds, old school and new school. I think that's why it's sustained and why it got so popular. Totally.
So a lot of these societal fears would eventually become like a full-blown moral panic.
Oh, it also like transcends language too, because it's a visual.
And there are
although there's stories and language about it.
A lot of another thing that the documentary showed was a lot of people on YouTube from like other countries would get really into this and make their own like sort of videos. There's a lot of kind of cool YouTube videos and things that people like should be like the people making it like very like found footage or like documentary style, like all of it. There's definitely like a suspension of disbelief in a lot of these stories where they're written. A lot of creepypastas are written as if they are true. It's like a it's like an urban legend or like truth. Like this is based on a true story. This is something that was told to me by like a friend of a friend. And this actually happened. So like it's all like people
it's like LARPing on the internet, like it's it is, there's a word for it, I can't remember it right now, but it's like
it's like true, it's all written as if it's a true story.
Totally.
It's like a mockumentary. It's like a Blair Witch Project situation, but in like stories and like YouTube videos and stuff. But that kind of led to people
believing it,
literally believing
like being
it,
being like, "Yes, that's real. I read a thing.
Yeah,
it said it was real."
And that I'm sure was rare. Most people, you know,
are in
have
on
the
it.
Capacity to figure out what is real and what is fake, especially when it involves like supernatural beings. But also, how many people are, you know, in the Catholic Church?
So I thought you were going a different direction. I thought you were going to say how many people are in QAnon. So
that's what I would how go many to. People believe in QAnon?
But that's the thing. Like, there's like that's the part. That's the thing that I guess that also plays into the scary part of it is like the misinformation of like the internet too. It's like you take of it what you will and like believe in what you will because it's there stated as fact doesn't necessarily mean it is fact, though here it is for you to take and believe and run with if you so choose. which is like freaky as fuck. And even more terrifying than the idea of Slender Man himself. Like, you know, because you could take anything and run with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's things in like the fucking news that are like presented as reality. And you're like,
you're like, that's not exactly it at all. Okay.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Totally.
So this led to this thing that that HBO documentary is largely about.
Right.
Which was the stabbing of a 12-year-old girl by two other 12-year-old girls.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is what we were talking about when Exxon was on the podcast. We touched on this part, mostly about this part,
yeah. Which I feel very weird about.
Yeah.
Especially watching the documentary. I'm not going to get into the details very much.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of exploitative to talk about these kids.
Yeah.
Because, like,
there
are details all over the internet. You can watch the documentary if you really get into it. Like, I'm not gonna say their names or that stuff. But on May 31st, 2014 in Waukesha, Wisconsin, fun part of the documentary is they all have accents. They're from Wisconsin. Wisconsin. I'm like, great. Fantastic. Give me those accents.
Go, Pack, go. Wisconsin.
Freaky as hell, but the accent's great.
Wisconsin accents are my favorite. I love them so much. They're great. They also make me think of my friend Laurel, who's from Wisconsin. Love you. Laurel, if you're listening, we love you.
Love you.
Love you, Laurel.
I have never met you, but love you.
You need to meet Laurel. We'll go back to New York. She lives in New York City.
We will.
We'll go back to New York, and you'll get to meet Laurel one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But back in Wisconsin, in 2014, a 12-year-old girl was stabbed 19 times by two of her, like, best friends.
Yeah.
They had, like, a slumber party, and then they went and played hide-and-seek in the forest, and she got stabbed by her friends.
Yeah.
The friends were brought into custody. Luckily, this kid was found in time. She survived. She was stabbed on May 31st. Apparently, she went back to school in September. So, good for her.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize that.
I'm sure she, like definitely has some, like, long-term
lasting
issues,
trauma,
but, like,
to the body or to the brain.
She survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So, good for her.
She had
a
summer of recovery, for sure. Oh, my God. Yeah. What a shitty summer that would have been.
Stabbed 19 times. There was, like, one of the stabbings, one of the wounds was, like, a millimeter away from, like, an artery or something. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, what a lucky freaking girl. Good for her. But, like,
this poor kid.
Yeah, that's awful.
So these other two girls.
Yes.
They were brought into police custody, and interviews with them revealed that they believed, like, fully believed, literally are not faking it, that the Slender Man had instructed them to kill their friend.
That
this was something
bonkers
that he wanted them to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how two people both get manipulated into believing the same thing where one's not manipulating the other. You know what I mean?
So it kind of seems like the one girl, it was, like, untreated, like, schizophrenic.
Okay.
She had mental illnesses that, like, made her delusional believe this.
Sure.
And her other friend had sort of, like, brought this to her as, like, isn't this a cool story?
Yeah, look at this internet thing.
And she, like, dove into it and was like, this is real.
Yeah.
I believe this. He's talking to me. And she talked to her friend and was like, this is real. And her friend just, like, was so excited to have a friend who was excited about things that she was excited about and was like, oh, I guess it is real.
Yeah.
Like, this other poor kid, they're just, like, a couple of little nerds who, like, don't really have, like, a lot of other friends.
Yeah.
And
my understanding just, like, was that, the only things I do remember about it was that they were just, like, normal kids. Like, they weren't, like, bad kids. They weren't, like, kids from, you know, who had, they were just, like, for lack of a better way, just two random girls.
The one has, like, untreated mental illness.
That's really hard. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, but
it makes a lot of sense, but, like, also there's a whole thing with, like, her parents. Like, her dad was also schizophrenic, and her parents didn't, like, maybe go to the doctor and be like, oh, we have a kid who's like kind of acting weird. Yeah. Maybe you should check out our kids.
Like, we know that it's something that's in our family. Oh, that's so
like,
sad. Yeah.
This is what I was getting mad about. This whole story,
especially like, is about kids, like, and like you like the onus falls on the parents and like on negligent parents. It's hard.
This story is about like the American system not like
just trying failing.
To treat mental illness, and also about the American justice system, which we'll get into because it's fucked up how they dealt with this. But yeah, it was like this one girl sort of like drew the other one into it, and they just like because they both
they fed each other in different ways.
They one fed was
like,
into look it. At
this thing. This other one was like, oh, it's really real. This one's like, really, is it real? They're like, yeah, it's like, real.
Whoa, cool. Can we that's believe great. In
it? Okay, this is what's happening. Okay, we're doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like one thing led to another. Like, that's awful.
It seems like it's this thing that is so hard, difficult to understand, but like, I get it. Like, I was watching this documentary and I was like, I could see myself at 12, like, with these like little nerdy friends just getting so like wrapped up in like the make-believe and like
caught up all in of a the thing stuff for that like
I don't know if I was at this situation and I was that age and I was just like so excited about this thing, I probably would have stabbed someone. I don't fucking know.
Well, because also like at that age you don't really have a like concept of real like what's it called, not circumstance, like repercussions. You don't have a freaking clue like what anything is long term. You've been alive for 12 years. That's not long term in any way, shape or form. You know,
exactly.
Your brain is They're still children. Developing. You literally have no clue what like what consequences your actions actually have. So, to be able to like convince each other of certain things and like believe a certain thing and then be swept up in it, it makes a lot of sense. And also the second you explained that like one girl had like untreated, undiagnosed serious mental health issues, now that makes a lot that like makes a lot more sense to me, how like how it grew, like how that like problem grew legs, you know what I mean, like if it was instead of just
how
being,
it like snowballed.
I get that a lot more.
Yeah. So, but because the American justice system is not as understanding as us.
Right. We're very understanding people. You're all welcome for it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome to our brains.
I don't know. Just like monitor and medicate these kids.
Oh, you mean like everyone like needs universal health care and pharmacare? Is that what you're trying to say? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's almost like that's the bare minimum that we need. Absolutely.
That's not what the state of Wisconsin thought. The state of Wisconsin was like, hey, we're gonna try these kids as adults because we can do that.
Oh my God.
And we so they did that, and they were charged with, one of them was charged with 25 years and one was charged with 40 years in a mental institution.
That's
which
so
I'm sure is pretty
sad.
Shitty in the state
I mean
of Wisconsin, like a
state run, like it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Like a
state run anything is never
like,
good, you know.
Like taken away from their families, who like seem like they genuinely
were trying,
care
probably.
And could take care of these kids.
Literal
they were
tiny
put back
children
into their custody.
Yeah.
Children, they're 12.
Literal children.
They were 12.
When you're
12,
you know what grade? You know what grade you're in? You're grade 8. That's how old you are when
they're
you're
children.
12.
They're
period.
Little babies.
Yeah.
They don't understand. Literally,
they
don't understand. But yeah, I was watching the documentary and just
bummer.
Getting mad. Like,
yeah.
Fuck, like
what in
there
the
are
hell?
Better ways to deal with this.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's so
believe.
Unfortunate, and not even unfortunate. That's just so bullshit, and so like so truly bullshit. Devastating. Like, yeah. When I start thinking about this for too long, it makes me really mad and sad. But like, yeah, the sheer amount of people who are like institutionalized, either in like facilities like this or in other parts of the criminal justice system. Because again, this is the criminal justice system, even though they're saying it's a hospital. It's,
oh, absolutely.
It's not. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah,
like it's
it makes
still
me
basically
so mad.
A prison.
It's
just
a prison.
Because it's technically
for sure.
A mental institution doesn't mean it's
not
a prison.
Prison. Exactly.
So abolish prison.
Abolish abolition. You know, that's been the project. That'll still be the project. Yeah. Period. As we always say on this podcast. Abolition.
Yeah, as we always say in this podcast, watch Paddington 2. You'll understand
the prison abolition. Honestly, yeah. We said it before, we'll say it again. It sounds like a joke, but we really mean it.
I am not kidding. I'm dead serious. Don't watch the Slender Man documentary on HBO.
It might make you mad. Paddington Instead, 2. Watch Paddington 2. Learn more about
it. It'll make you mad. It is too long. Wow. And the one dad of one of these kids is just so upset because the girl had an iPad and he blames the iPad for her, like,
what?
What He's like, I watched her about? All the time, but she was on the internet on her iPad, and now my other son is gonna get an iPad from school, and he's gonna be like, he's also gonna get like taken down by this iPad. I'm like, what?
I'm shook that this man is blaming iPad for an iPad for his
so many other things going on here,
buddy guy. Also like, doesn't he know he's the parent? He can just take it away.
Exactly.
Doesn't he know that he's the parent?
Be on the iPad. Also, you can like monitor the content that she's looking at.
Yeah, you can put parental controls. You can like turn off the internet. There's so many a myriad of things you can do. You're a parent. You're the boss. Like, I think that's what some people don't realize, is that they're the parent.
It's not society. It's the iPad.
It's the iPad, everyone. Oh no, Cecilia, I'm talking to you on my iPad right now. What's gonna happen to me?
Oh my god.
What's gonna happen to me?
You are gonna get the Slenderman. I told you he's still behind you.
Cecilia, I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight. Oh my god.
Okay, enough about these poor kids.
I like this. Can I just say the one thing I like about the Slenderman real quick though? While we're on the topic, yeah. Still of Slenderman. I like that he looks like he was sucked through a straw, like a piece of, you know, like a linguine. I like it. I think it's so funny.
Maybe it's actually straws that come out of his back. It's not.
He's like, I'm just trying to save the turtles. These are reusable straws.
Oh, my reusable straws.
You want a reusable straw, children? And they run away. And he's like, I'm just trying to save the turtles.
They're like, no, we want a plastic straw. It's not my straw use that's killing the turtles. It's the corporation.
They're like, my father is the king of big oil. We love plastic. And they run away.
Who knew the Slender Man would bring up just like all of our societal problems?
Oh my god, Slender Man. Really?
You can put whatever like
onto Slender Man. And so we're putting them all on.
And it's happening. Yeah. The Slender Man actually represents capitalism.
Honestly, I don't believe it. So there we go. Slender Man.
Okay, where was I? So, we hate the American justice system.
I mean,
we're not a big fan of the HBO documentary. It's fine.
There we go.
So, there's definitely, like, an element to the Slender Man that draws these, like, young, nerdy kids to him. He's often linked to, like, lonely, troubled children in mm-hmm. stories. He's often kind of, like, a rescuer of children in a way.
Oh, okay.
Like, not in, like, a cute, wholesome way necessarily. He's often like making them do scary shit for him, like these girls thought that to befriend the Slender Man and run off to the forest with him they had to like murder a person,
right? Yeah,
so that's like,
but that was their end, that was their end game, like, was to go with him to the
he's like, he's been like Krampus.
You know, he also reminds me of like Krampus, but he also reminds me of like,
he comes not to give but to take.
It also reminds me of like the child snatcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the guy going around with a net also, like, catching children.
The documentary also like compares him to the Pied Piper.
Oh, very Pied Piper vibes. In that,
yeah, he'll like take these children, but there's not like a clear reason why he's doing it.
Yeah, what does the Pied Piper like, take children for?
That's the thing about the Pied Piper is he gets rid of, he like, he uses his little pipe to get all the rats into the sea and then into the, I don't know where.
Gets the rats out of Ireland.
And he just like.
That's St. Patrick. That's St. Patrick.
Yeah. That's what he does. But then he like takes the children all fall away, but the children are just never seen again.
Where do they go? Yeah.
he's not necessarily malevolent.
He's like, not bad. He's not good. He's just doing something.
He's not bad. He's not good. He's just taking them away. Like, yeah. Maybe he's taking them to this, like, beautiful utopia for children. Maybe he's taking them away to have them for dinner. Like, we just don't know.
Yeah. That's the question mark of it. The Slenderman. Yeah.
The same thing with, like, the Slenderman is he will guide these children away from their circumstances.
To the forest or wherever he brings them. So, like,
yeah, Krampus. Kill their parents.
Come to give, like, not to take.
Take them away, but there's never, like, he's accepting,
right,
these kids, but there's never, like, a real reason for it.
It also seems like there's always a little bit of a cost, but also not, like,
yeah,
you know, like, not to the point where it's, like, detrimental necessarily for the child leaving or being mm-hmm. taken or whatever, but there is some sort of a cost. So
they always kind of have to do something.
Yeah,
for him,
exactly.
Kind of, it seems.
It's like a bit of a trade always somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. But he is sort of this figure that can save them from their situations or, right, like, take them away from. And he's willing to accept you.
How you are, yeah.
Will accept you. All you have to do is, like, believe in him.
Right. That's so,
so they
weird.
Were, like, these kids were willing to believe in him. Yeah. And that's all that they needed to do to, like, be accepted and go and live in his little forest home with him. Which,
right,
you know, that sounds like a good deal.
I mean, we do love the forest. It sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounds like a different forest than, like, a cottagecore vibe forest, which is more what I would like to live in, you know.
It's in Wisconsin.
Hey.
Wisconsin's cute.
But Wisconsin's cold. It's, like, colder than here.
Wisconsin is cold.
It's cold as hell.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, when my friend Laurel moved here, they were like, yo, you're moving to Canada? You're going to be so cold. She moved here to Southern Ontario.
She's,
and she's like,
literally, I'm from Wisconsin.
She's like, this is so warm. She's like, it's the same, but not as cold. And everyone was like, oh.
This is actually more south.
Literally more south than Sheboygan, yeah. Wisconsin. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah.
Just because it's Canada doesn't mean it's the northest it can be. Mm-hmm. You heard it here first.
So they're going to go live in this cold forest with, right, the Slender Man. But instead, they're in a mental institution. So we should just let them go with the Slender Man.
I mean, I'm sure they would have had a much better time. Yeah.
I think so. I
feel like it.
So this news story was, like, widely publicized,
yes,
and started, you know, a good old moral panic.
Classic.
Across the United States.
Classic.
Mostly in the United States, a little bit elsewhere, of course, because, you,
yeah,
know, these things kind of spread.
Right.
The police chief of Waukesha, where this happened, his name is Russell Jack.
Two first names. Never trust him.
The man's name is Russell
can't,
Jack.
Can't
it's
trust
literally
him.
Jack Russell. Like,
it's Jack Russell, but opposite.
Dog.
It's Russell, comma Jack.
Russell Jack. Okay, fake name. Don't believe it. He warned that the Slender Man stabbing should be a wake-up call for all parents that the internet is full of dark and wicked things.
Buddy guy. Guy buddy.
Okay, Russell.
Okay, Russell Jack.
Jack.
What did he do? Sit up.
Fake name.
Russell Jack, pseudonym. He probably just sits at home on his lazy boy, watches his TV set that his grandparents left him, and says, I hate the internet. I'm not paying. But he still has to have it for his job, so he has dial-up.
The real problem is the iPad.
The real problem is the internet.
He refuses to learn how to use the work email because,
yeah,
he just only believes in paper.
Yeah, he believes in paper, but he also has a pager from 1987, and he makes people page him on it instead.
He does.
And he answers
and
them
really
on
confused.
His landline. He's confused.
He's
always.
Like, why is no one paging me? God.
And he doesn't realize that no one else knows how to do a pager.
Is it even possible to page anymore? Can you do that?
You've got to be able to, right? You just use a phone. You think you just call it, like, it's.
Could I just
a
send
number.
A text to a pager?
Maybe. What, you know what? He got one Christmas, he got gifted a Palm Pilot, but he was too exciting for him, so he put it back in the closet and he hasn't taken it out since.
I'm also like, I'm too youthful. I'm not entirely sure what a pager is.
A pager is
like I kind of get it, but I'm not sure I've actually, like,
I've seen it
one.
In TV. It, like, you wear it on your hip.
I've seen it on TV,
and it says,
but I'm
like,
sure
the
I don't
phone
I don't
number,
really understand.
It says the phone number of who's trying to call you, I think.
But it does it doesn't it sometimes say, like, texts, like it has, like, words on it?
Oh yeah, maybe. Like 911 or like Jackie. I don't know.
SOS. Please respond.
Yeah. 411.
Boobs. Send dudes.
Boobless. No, that's just what, boobless. That's just what they're what? Boobless. That's another calculator one. You know, on a calculator when you spell out boobless. If anyone, classic.
If anyone has a pager, please take a photo of it.
Yeah, let us know because we don't know what that's like.
Instagram, we don't understand. We're young.
Surprisingly, we're really young and we don't even know what we're talking about.
We're actually really young. So,
so young.
And we're so youthful. But yeah, this, like, parents all over the United States went, like, wild.
Yeah, they went bonkers.
Like, oh, no, the Slender Man. Our children are going to believe in the Slender Man and they're going to stab their friends.
Oh, no.
And, like, there was all these, like, little old news stories that popped up about people, you know, being up to no good because of the Slender Man. But I don't know. Maybe some of them are true. Maybe some of them are just, like, because of this moral panic, like,
well, it's kind of like,
would be like, my kid did this because of the Slender Man, and it'd be like, no,
your kid is just an asshole. Yeah,
sweetie, I don't know.
Little Justin is just an asshole. No,
like, maybe you just saw it on the news.
Maybe you dreamt it, girlfriend. It also reminds me a bit of that, like, remember when the clowns were a thing, when clowns were popping up everywhere?
Exactly. Yeah. That's another, like, moral panic of, like, is there actually anything to this, or is the news just reporting on, like, the things that people are, like, saying, telling silly stories about, like, children being like, I saw a clown in the forest, and you're like, did you actually? And they're like, no.
They're like, yeah. And it's like, but did you?
Billy told me to tell you that.
Man. And then the next night there is one because someone's like, that's a good bit, I'm gonna cash in.
Exactly.
On this.
Yeah, they're like, that's funny, I'm gonna dress as a clown really and stand in the forest and see if I can freak out these
tweens. You know,
suburban moms.
Yeah, and the suburban moms. Yeah. Yeah. It's very much that kind of vibe where it's like, you don't really know what's real because people are just making shit up and then going with it. And then, yeah, it's a bit of like the satanic panic too, right? Like, it's literally,
it's
like,
not
whenever
necessarily...
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever, it's not necessarily based in a lot of truth.
Totally.
But it's like... It's based off of this thing that people are afraid of happening, even though it's not necessarily happening.
Right. They're like, it happened one place, so it definitely is happening here. And it's happening there and there and there and there also. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but also, is it Gina? Is it Gina? But then the Gina's of the world all say, yes, it is.
They say, yes, of course. If people want to listen to podcasts where people talk about these things and are actually, like, smart... I'm just saying, people who do actual good research. Sure. You should.
What are you
listen
saying?
To,
okay, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you.
I got all of my information from one HBO documentary in Wikipedia.
Is that not sufficient? I don't.
I'm here because I'm cute and funny, not because I'm smart.
So smart.
I recommend listening to You're Wrong About.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And also American Hysteria. Those are two very good podcasts that touch on a lot of moral panics often in their content. And
that's,
they
pretty cool.
Both had episodes about the killer clowns.
Ooh.
And a lot about the satanic panic.
Nice. Which we are big fans of. You know, whenever we bring it up, we kind of cheer because it's fun.
We stand the satanic panic.
We just think it's fun and neat.
It's just funny. Yeah, but this is like that. It's like,
yeah, totally. It is
this thing that no one really understands and isn't necessarily actually causing a problem. Like, in 99% of the Slender Man content, it's literally just that. It's just content. It's online stories and videos and video games, and it's not actually causing any harm. It's all just like fun and games.
Yeah.
And then one little thing happens and it just spirals out of control.
The worst thing in the world. Yeah. I really like that you brought up the Pied Piper, though. I'm stuck on that in my brain. Because you're right. That, like, Slenderman is literally a timeless thing where it's like an old-timey meets a new-timey thing. And that's such a good example of how it's an old-timey thing. That's so weird. Wow. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, that's from the documentary, so that was, like, an interesting
part.
That's
really
like the
smart
part of the documentary where they really explained about the Slender Man. I thought that was
cool.
Well done.
Yeah.
They also used, like, a really cool, like, probably, like, 60s or 70s, like, stop motion animation of the Pied Piper, which looked really cool.
That's cool.
And I was watching it. I'm like, oh my God, did they make this for this? And then I was like, I don't think so. No. It's old.
Yeah. They probably just licensed it. That's cool.
But I didn't look into it, but it looked cool. Where are we? So this negative attention around the Slender Man also obviously affected the online community that had been like built up around it. It started to become like less popular online because people are like, oh fuck, it's got this like weird thing around it.
Yeah, they're
it
like
now.
We don't want to go to literal jail.
Yeah, people, like, some people were like, oh, this is, like, too real now. There's, like, a real right. threat posed by this. Be kind of weird. Others sort of leaned into sort of fixing the image of the Slender Man and, like, reclaiming the Slender Man. So
they had to do some good PR.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we're going to make him more, there's do like more of like a benevolent portrayal of him, one that kind of protects children and right. more obviously like goes in and protects children from bullies and from other threats.
Okay.
Which was definitely a reaction to this.
Totally.
Like,
probably it would never have happened around this time. If it hadn't happened.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it could have would have just like kept going the way it was going and been like spooky.
Spooky Slenderman.
I'm sure there's still like people writing about the Slender Man and making it spooky.
Yeah.
But a lot of people kind of pivoted and changed it. In 2016, there was a Slender Man movie that was released.
That's right.
Yeah, which everyone forgot about.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
So everyone forgot about it both because people, like, this was only 2 years after the stabbing. People were like, you're caught taking advantage of the scandal.
People were like, this is too close to time.
Don't know about this. And then also because it was a bad movie and everyone hated it.
But that's the thing. If you're going to do something and it's going to be it's too close. It's like it has scandalous. To be fucking good. It has to be good as shit. Yeah. If it's bad, no one's going to give a shit. But if it slaps, you know, house down boots, people are going to be like,
it made a lot of money. Like, it only cost like $10 million to make, but it made a lot.
Oh, really?
It made its money back.
Well, then.
I mean, it's also like a low budget.
Yeah, 10 mil is nothing.
Where was it? There was like a. Oh, there's a good review of it that I didn't write down. Why did I do that? I don't know. It basically is. Oh, Joey King was in it.
Oh.
Okay.
All right, Slender Man.
Cool. It has. What has it got on? It's on Netflix? Okay, we can watch it. It's got 8% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I don't always believe in Rotten Tomatoes, but I'll believe it this time.
Wow, 8%? Sign me up. Anything under 10%, I'm sold.
I'm like, I love it.
Anything
I'll
more
watch
than
it.
Me,
I'll
anything more than that, back. It's too mainstream for me.
It's too mainstream. It's I only watch mainstream. Things that are under 10% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm sure there are movies that I legitimately like that are under 10% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I mean, there's got to be, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Gotta be. Try to think of examples, but I can't think of any. I wonder what Paddington 2 has on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God. It's probably unanimous 100%. It's gotta be.
100%. Perfect movie. Perfect score. I wonder what Hotel Transylvania 3 has on Rotten
Tomatoes. It better be 100%. 10 out of 10. Highest score alive.
Okay. Paddington 2 has 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
See? I was close. 1% off.
Oh, what about HT3?
It's
my favorite.
It's going to be lower for sure.
It's iconic.
It's so good. It's an excellent
There's going to be a Hotel Transylvania 4. It's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. They're not back. It's just new voices.
Okay. HT3, a Summer Vacation, only has a 62% on Rotten
Tomatoes. That's nasty. Who downvoted that one? That's nasty. I don't accept that behavior.
Okay, well.
Well, that's gross.
It's okay. It's a passing grade. It is a 6.3 out of 10 on IMDb. Ugh, come on, people. Get it together. What are we talking about? We're not talking about Hotel Transylvania. We're talking about Slender Man.
Different monster.
So Slender Man. So something that kind of links him to a lot of our ghosties, if we want to bring it more full circle.
Let's do it.
Is that he is kind of a very modern online created kind of like folklore. And a lot of our ghosties are, I mean, some of them are real. Maybe we don't, we haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are like they come out of folklore traditions and storytelling and things like that.
Totally.
So he, like a lot of our ghosts, his story often varies. There's like different interpretations of it, different tellings of it, depending on who's telling the story, what their intentions are. You know, there's lots of variables.
Because not everyone is as unbiased as Cecilia, you know.
Exactly.
So, lots of different versions.
Can you tell?
I know.
I'm not biased at all.
You're not at all biased in any way, shape, or form.
And I never have been.
Cannot be swayed. Scientists still don't know.
Cannot be swayed. She's unswayable.
She's
unswayable. That's what they say about me. And these stories, they're not really created by one individual, like a lot of these ghost stories. They're like a collective way of storytelling that sort of gets out into the world and people...
Which is pretty neat. Like, it has a mind of its own kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, everyone just kind of leaves their mark on it, and it just becomes this big, long thing. This big, expansive thing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Exactly. So that's the Slender Man. He's not a ghost, but he's scary.
But he's slender and a man, and he's super scary.
He's slender and he's a man.
He's super, and he's fancy. Dresses up for the occasion. Wow, Celia, that's a cool one.
Yeah, told you it was. I really chose my own adventure.
You brought us on like at least four different adventures.
Welcome,
thank you.
Oh, I accidentally took a FaceTime photo.
A FaceTime
I was like, what
photo.
Does that do?
That's something.
It was fun.
I love it. Well, my story is a lot shorter. So thank
okay,
you for
good because we're an hour in.
I
girl.
Know. Well, we're gonna do it. So we're gonna power through.
Okay.
Mine's gonna be
okay.
Lickety splickety.
Okay,
mine
perfect.
Does have a
lickety-splickety.
Ghost, lickety. Supposedly.
Wow.
We'll have to see. I'll have to explain it. I am staying a lot close to home today, and I'm going to be talking about the Burkholder Church Cemetery.
Ooh,
so I'm setting the scene. Hamilton, Ontario. Our hometown, baby.
I've been there.
You know it? You've been there? Located in southern Ontario, it is one of the largest cities in Ontario. It is home to McMaster University, which apparently is ranked 69th in the world for, like, universities, which made me laugh really hard. Nice. Yeah.
I go to Mac. That is an inside joke with Kate O'Grady.
Yeah, that's a classic. Hamilton, Ontario, the ambitious city, the electric city, the hammer, steel town. It is situated on the traditional lands of the Erie, the Neutral, the Huron-Wendat, the Haudenosaunee, and my people, the Mississaugas of the Credit. First Nation.
What's the second one that you said?
The Huron-Wendat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, there was just one that I was like, what?
No, yeah, the Neutral, the Huron-Wendat, the Haudenosaunee, the Erie.
The Neutral?
Yeah, the Neutral Nation. They're long gone. They're from the olden days.
Okay. Never heard
the
of
the pre-contact,
them.
post-contact days. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of debate about who should and shouldn't be acknowledged in, say, land acknowledgement in Hamilton. There's some people who, Mississaugas who believe only the Mississaugas should be recognized. I don't really know. I haven't really... thought about it much.
I don't know. The more the merrier. I don't know.
That's how I feel. I don't mind acknowledging, you know, the histories as we know them. So that's what I know. This place, as you can tell, probably oldly settled as hell, and it's an urban center and a port city. It also happens to be one of the most haunted cities in the country of where we live, which is Canada.
Oh yeah. I've been
you there. Heard about it? Super haunted city in that place, Hamilton, Ontario, which we've covered quite extensively on this podcast because it's where we're from.
Because we've been there.
One place in the city that is apparently very haunted, though, that we have yet to cover is the Burkholder Church Cemetery. So in 1794, Jacob Burkholder and his wife, Sophia de Roche, arrived on the Hamilton Mountain, which is the escarpment. And they became one of the first families to settle in the area. Jacob, having been born in 1747 in Emmental, Bern, Switzerland, and Sophia, who was from France, their family immigrated to the area and settled it. Located at what is today 465 Mohawk Road East, Burkholder Cemetery was established on a portion of the family's land. who at the time were descendants of the original family settlers. And in 1839, the land was officially set aside as a public burying ground and school site, though historians believe that probably even as early as 1800, people were burying their dead on that land in the area. So about for 40 years, even before it was officially established, people mm-hmm. had just been using it, you know, as burying ground. Because at that time, that was kind of like the country almost, like the outskirts of the city, yeah, like up the mountain, there wasn't much.
Where is that? It's Mohawk, like...
So it's Mohawk Road East. It's Mohawk between. I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. I'll tell you where exactly it is because it's.
Okay.
So, spoiler, not rural in the least. It's super fucking not rural.
I can imagine.
In the 1840s, a log school was built just inside the main gate and was used for both schooling and religious activities. In 1850, a church was erected on the same site known as the Little White Church. And pictures of it are rather cute, actually. The church stood there for over 100 years until the community's growth demanded a larger space, and the church was demolished in 1955. Boo.
That's rude.
In 1958, the current...
Should have just added an addition.
Right? I know. In 1958, the current Burkholder United Church was opened. You can see it. It's still there. It's just a building. But during the early years, when the Little White Church...
It's not cute.
It's not cute or little white. It's not little or white. Ooh. It's just brick and kind of... boring. Looks like it was built in 1958. Like, looks kind of mid-century.
I'm little and white.
but you're not a church, Celia. That's the one difference here. You're not a church.
But I should be worshipped.
All right. Okay. Keep going. Okay. The Little White Church in the early years, when the Little White Church had just been built, people of the area believed very strongly in superstitions, signs, and omens. I mean, that's pretty typical of the era. It's also pretty typical of, like, oftentimes rural settings, church people who are rather religious, church
people.
People who are also newer-ish immigrants a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You know, people bring their beliefs from the old country, they mesh it with the new country, all these things.
Yeah.
Lots of variables. One of these signs that, you know, people talk about from the Little White Church is its most infamous. These are, there are apparently lots of stories of people witnessing a strange light that would appear above the church and then run along the church roof before a death would occur. A sort of spirit warning. So I got a lot of my information today from Wikipedia, from hpl.ca, which is Hamilton Public Library.ca, nice. theparanormalseekers.ca, and ivebeenbit.ca. We stand the HPL, baby. Oh,
we love a public library.
We're doing the good work. We love libraries that are for the public, big for the people. Fan. We love the written word and, you know, all different kinds of resources that are at your libraries. A sort of spirit warning. So some people would even sometimes see it move down the roof's ridge and float away until it rested over the house where the doomed lay dying, to kind of be like, and this is where the person is, you know, dying. Many have seen this phenomenon, this orb of light moving across the top of the church as if it were running. Some even go so far as to believe that the light is a faithful church member's spirit passing, you know, as it moves on to the next or to wherever it's going. Or that it is the angels that hover over those about to pass and that they're only visible to the devout. So, you know, they've seen the light. They're like, maybe these are the reasons for the light. And some still over the roof of the new church have witnessed this very same light moving across, apparently. Some other strange sightings have been reported in the cemetery as well, like a woman in black who walks the grounds, or a woman who is seen next to a double headstone under the willow tree, or there's also a story of a woman that if folks bend down to read the name on a particular stone, that she will appear, and this woman is the man's wife, the man whose tombstone it is, and that she's appearing to shoo you away from her husband's grave so you won't disturb him. Mm-hmm. And while these sightings and spirit stories cannot or have not been confirmed, to my knowledge, there is definitely one story from Burkholder Cemetery that is certifiably creepy as fuck. So, Burkholder Cemetery was the site of at least one grave robbing. Apparently, a local pioneer doctor needed a skeleton one day. So he took one from the churchyard.
Oh my God.
He was only found out after a servant girl of his shared with others that the doctor had been boiling suspicious pieces of flesh in the home's huge wash boiler. So...
Suspicious pieces of flesh.
He's like, I took out the washing the other day. Like the
regular pieces of flesh.
Yeah, it's not like the regular flesh he's boiling in the wash. It's the suspicious flesh.
Suspicious ones.
Today, Burkholder Cemetery is a tiny cemetery beside an unassuming church in basically the middle of the city. It's on Mohawk Road, between Upper Wentworth and Upper Sherman. Cecilia, I guarantee you, you've passed it. I've passed it probably 50 times in my life without noticing. I did a Google search of it, and I was like, oh, that's a very unassuming church that I've definitely...
Yeah,
it's also another landmark. It's across the street from Our Lady of Lourdes, like the school.
Don't know it. What's it called? How do you call it?
Burkholder. B-U-R-K Holder. H-O-L-D-E-R. Burkholder.
Burkholder Drive, Pickering, Ontario.
Nope.
Burkholder... Park?
Burkholder Church Maybe. Cemetery or United Church.
There is a Burkholder. Oh, there's a Burkholder Drive.
Well, probably named for this family.
Between Upper Sherman. Oh, there's near the Walmart.
Yeah, it's near the Walmart. It's near close to the Valley Village.
It's close to the Valley Village. Yeah. You just told me that.
That's I should have said that. One. Yeah. it's just up the mountain.
Only place I know where it is.
Yeah, like if you're taking the link, it's not. It's like very close to that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very unassuming. I've been past it probably 50 times without noticing.
The United Church. Mm-hmm.
But now I know I'll notice it. That's for sure.
Oh, it's like not impressive at all.
No, Celia, I guarantee.
Cemetery really little.
It's tiny. It's a tiny cemetery for like such a haunted place. I've passed this at least so many times. I'm sure. I've been down that road. I know lots in my life.
Yeah.
It's a pretty main thoroughfare.
Weird.
It's Mohawk. Yeah. So.
Weird.
Yeah. Burkholder Cemetery. I don't know why when I first was reading this story, I was picturing it to be out in the like this country, like the boonies. Like I thought it was like Flamborough or something.
Yeah.
No.
Well, because it says it's like rural back in the day. We were like, no, it's on Mohawk.
No, it's literally like. Up the mountain in the middle of the city. Yeah, near the biggest mall in the city. Like, it's like pretty, yeah, central on the mountain.
Hop, skipping a jump away from Fortino's. Like,
yeah. It's, yeah.
Walmart.
No, it's like got all the amenities you could want.
It's close to a beer store.
Well,
the beer store and then go drink in the cemetery.
In the cemetery? That's true. Yeah, we've talked about, well, with Christian, we talked about, Century Manor. It's all of that is like up the mountain.
Yes,
in that area. Which again, at that in the Victorian era when this was established and when that was established was all, you know, kind of farmy farm time. And today, not so much at all.
Things were way out in the middle of nowhere when they're just like not now,
not even close. Yeah, but yeah, so that's Burkholder Church Cemetery. Little, tiny, little, sweet, little story, but worth mentioning, I thought.
Tiny little spooky story. I mean, mine went fucking long enough that...
that it worked out great, yeah.
Works out great. We only needed a little tiny story from Carly from a little tiny church that I've probably driven past a bazillion times and never noticed.
Right? Now we know.
So unassuming.
So unassuming.
Now I'll drive past it and be like, that's haunted,
by the way. Well, Cecilia will post a picture of it for you on our social media. On our Instagram, so that you can see how very unassuming this 1958 church is. It's like small and not small. It's just like brown and normal looking.
It's just
plain. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, I guess the little white church was honestly really cute though. There's a really good picture of it on hpl.ca. Hamilton Public Library has a good little picture of it. It's very cute. The original church. But yeah. So that's those are our stories for the day. We really did it to them. Good for us.
We really did it to them.
They love it. Hooray.
Do you got anything that you need to share with the people and let them know about?
No, I let them know at the top of the show. I I put all my eggs in my own basket by promoing my own shit today.
I've embarked on a journey. I started watching Sex in the City. I've told yes, you about this, but that's I haven't right. told the people.
Yeah, tell them and tell me where you're at and what you're thinking and how you're feeling.
I'm like four or five episodes in.
Oh my god, you're done almost on the first season then, because the first season's very short.
Oh really?
I think well, it is, it feels short. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I'm only like five episodes in. Okay. But it's good. The last episode had some really weird, like, they were being very judgmental of, like, sex workers. And I was like, this is weird.
Oh, yeah.
Also, at one point, she got, like, invited to go to, like, Venice with, like, a rich Italian man.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's like, oh, I just, like, I couldn't. It would be, like, people would judge me. And I'm like, fuck, girl,
go to Venice. Like, yeah, because her one friend, she's like, she's the Italian friend. She's like, bye.
Yeah, her, like, weird Italian friend.
And she's like, she's just an international party girl. And they're like, why is that a bad thing?
I know, they're, like, judging so hard and being like, no, I can never. And I was like, fuck, that's what I want to do. Like,
well, damn. Also because that Italian man paid her after he spent the night with her. He just left her money. I'm like, that's some sugar baby lifestyle. You need to take it and run, girl.
That's the dream. That sounds amazing. How can I get this to happen to me?
dear rich Italian
like
men.
So much judgment. And
it's
I'm
so
like,
stupid. Yeah.
She just had like a great day with this dude and that she like had a good time with.
And then he also paid her. Yeah. And she was like, oh no, it like ruined it like to pay her. I'm like, no, it would ruin it to not pay her. That's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the sensibilities. Yeah, that just is amazing. It's one of my faves. But yes, there's some moments like that where I'm like, that's stupid. Like, you're dumb.
Just that whole arc, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I can't relate.
Yeah, I was like, no, we live in a dog-eat-dog world in a capitalist society. You take that rich man's money and you leave. Like,
exactly.
That sounds amazing. And then you tell him, give me more of it. That's what you say.
Like, he's going back to Italy anyway.
He doesn't give a fuck. I know.
You're not going to talk to him.
No.
Just take his money.
I know. She really thought her life was, like, going to be with this Italian. She doesn't have... She's a Libra, Cecilia. She does it with every episode where she's like, this is the man for me forever. And it's like, shut up.
He's going to call me. He's going back to Italy. So even if he does call you...
Yeah. And I realized he didn't have my phone number. It's like, girl, he's not going to call you. He doesn't give a shit. Like,
sorry.
She's like, and then it dawned on me.
Like, when will a rich hot Italian man like wine and dine me and then give me $1,000?
I know. My dream is to say for someone to say I'll call you and then not call me because then I don't have to answer the phone. I hate answering the phone.
Yeah, if someone can call you, I'm like, you can text.
You could just send me, you know, a meme. Maybe do that instead.
Send me a fax.
Call me on my pager. Maybe I'll get back to you.
I'm actually not online. Just you can e-transfer me.
This is my PayPal.
With a message. My phone's actually not working right now, but
I can definitely have e-transfer.
And you can put a little message in there. And I'll get it
that way, yeah.
Somehow.
And then my people will call your people.
Then I'll have your email, I guess.
Yeah, so thank you.
And I can get right back. Yeah, my people can call your people. We'll figure it out.
So funny. Yeah. I'm so glad that you're watching it. You can finally join the group. I watched it for the very first time all the way through in, like, grade 12 during exam season when I was supposed to be studying. In the basement. Don't tell my mom. It was amazing. And I was like very glad to be watching it. I was like, I'm so grown. And now I still watch it and I'm like, I am so grown.
It does make me want to just like, go out.
Yeah.
Do
I know.
Be out and about with my pals.
With the gals. I know.
Go find some rich Italian men.
Let's do it.
Give me money.
We can make it happen now. We're double vaxxed. Let's be Sex in the City. I've been saying let's move to New York. We would have so much content for our friends here. They would listen. They'd be like, look at all the cool and good things you're doing. And we'd be like, you're welcome.
Like what they're up to, right?
They're living real life Sex in the City.
Our podcast is, we're just going to like rebrand. We're just talking about our like...
It's gonna be called
Adventures.
Instead of Ghosts Are Everywhere, it's just gonna be called Gals Are Everywhere. And then
Gals Are Everywhere, and we're gonna be
we'll be everywhere. That's the sister podcast of this podcast. You gals won't be able everywhere.
To stop us. We're just going to be fucking everywhere.
Good luck trying to stop us. You won't be able to.
Out on the fucking town.
Fucking aces.
We're ready.
I know.
Oh my God.
Speaking of where we are, which is everywhere, where can they find us on the internet, Celia, besides here?
I'm not online personally. So
but us as a collective, where can they find us?
Oh, just kidding. We are on Instagram at Ghosts Are Everywhere.
Hell yeah, we are.
We also have Twitter, GAE Pod. We just post our episodes on there.
Yeah, direct little links.
Automatically.
Yeah.
We have a little Etsy store where you can buy shit.
Yes.
And give
you can.
Us money. And some of that money goes to something good.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It's in the listings. It supports some good charities.
It's in there.
Yeah.
It goes to good places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love to see it. Thanks for joining us this week. And
you can go to hamiltonfringe.ca and figure out how to get tickets for It's a Beautiful Day for Brunch and to arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. And you can watch Carly. You can't actually see her face, but just like this podcast, you can hear her voice.
That's right. You'll be able to. Oh, my gosh. You, of all people, will know exactly which one I am because you'll all go, I hear that voice every week.
You'll be like, this Dang. Is a voice that I recognize. I know her.
They're like, I listen to her ramble every week. I know her. Even if it has a weird like voice filter over it, I'll know it's her.
I know
And you'll
her.
Know it's me.
She's my friend.
Oh my gosh, it's me. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks, Celia, for the extra plug there. And we love you. And we'll see you next week. Keep ghosting away. You.
Keep on ghosting. Keep on doing it. Have a good time.
As always, have a good time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
How are the levels?
Levels are good. Levels are checked. The tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips. The tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips.
Check, check, check.
Check, check. Mic check. Check. One, two. Check. One, two. One, two. Check. One, two.
One, two.
One, two. Czechoslovakia. One, two. Czech Republic.
45 minutes until launch.
Counting five, down.
Four, three, two. Kablooey.
Kablamski.